Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fjord on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olchek. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olchek!
The great Edzo was on the call last night with the velvety smooth tones of the wonderful Doc Emrick. Those two guys make that NBC broadcast just spectacular to listen to. And Edzo joins us this morning. Edzo, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Eddie.
Thanks for the time.
Hey, good morning, Capper. David, nice to be with you guys.
All right, before we get into last night's game, we wanted to ask you a quick question because I think you and I have texted about it a little bit. Brandon Saad has just elevated his play game after game after game.
Mm-hmm.
When he hits the market as a restricted free agent,
yeah,
how does that...
Let me stop you there, Capper. He has no rights. Like, he has no arbitration rights. He cannot leave. I mean, I guess he could go to Russia, the KHL, but... But really, I mean, he has to negotiate with the team, or, you know, if this is down the road, but I mean, if they can't get something together, then he can either, you know, sit out or whatever, or is what happened a couple of years ago with Nicholas Jalmerson and the San Jose Sharks. They offered him a, signed him to an offer sheet, and then
yep.
the Blackhawks had 7 days to match that offer. And they did, and then you know, the rest is history. So certainly, you know, those are the options really for Brandon Saad. He has no arbitration rights, but I make sure to make that perfectly clear.
And I would think teams around the league who value a player of Brandon's skill would also say, "Screw Chicago, I'm going to jack with their cap."
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's what happened with the San Jose example.
Yep,
he had to lose Niemi.
Yeah. I mean, Doug Wilson, former Blackhawk player, and. You know, GM of San Jose Sharks knew that the Hawks were in a tough situation with the salary cap, and that's what teams are looking at. I mean, it doesn't happen a whole heck of a lot. Remember when Shea Weber contract was up 2 years ago, Philadelphia made him, you know, a huge offer, gave him, I think it was 60, maybe 64 or $67 million over, you know, 8 years, whatever it is, 9 years, and Nashville had, you know, a week to match it. Now, if they didn't match it, there's a tier of, you know, the amount of money per season that is would be the, you know, the equality of what the compensation would be. So the more money, the higher the compensation as far as draft picks and things. So, you know, that's a couple months down the road. But Brandon Saad's, you know, in one of those situations. And look, the Blackhawks got themselves in trouble 5 years ago when – they just started overpaying everybody when they didn't have to. So there's, you know, you call it a bridge contract where mm-hmm. you go from your entry level contract to your bridge contract. And then when the player has rights and arbitration, then that's when the player, if he's a, you know, a really, really good player, that's when the player is going to hit a grand slam.
And Eddie, there's published rumors and speculation, I think began on ESPN.com and elsewhere about the Penguins that uh-huh. would have interest. But if, from what I understand also, I'm not sure the Penguins can offer
because they used their
sheet because
first
of,
round pick,
yeah.
They gave it up in another signing. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, I think that was the trade with Edmonton when they got David Perron, I think. So, you know, look, I mean, you can acquire another first rounder, you know, via trade or whatever.
Sure.
Like, I mean, I don't know who it is, but, you know, I mean, every team's got situations. The Penguins are right up against it, too, on the salary cap, too. So, I mean, there yeah. have to be some maneuverability there as well. But, I mean, you know, it's easy to speculate because Brandon Saad's a world-class player. He's proven that in Pittsburgh. You know, he grew up there. You know, I think people are, you know, just kind of, you know, throwing some stuff up against
sure.
the wall and go from there. But, you know, I think anything's on the table moving forward. And, you know, he's played very, very well. And he's an important piece to the Blackhawks. And, you know, negotiations will dictate what happens.
So let's go back to last night, Eddie. So
yeah.
when the game started and Lightning come onto the ice and
uh-huh.
Vasilevskiy leads them onto the ice and it's clear
mm-hmm.
that Ben Bishop is not going to play, what went through your mind and how much of an opportunity to you did it represent to the Blackhawks?
I mean, I was surprised, considering that I thought the best he looked in game three, David, was in the third period of game three, where that was the period where he looked the most confident and compact and really didn't seem like he was laboring at all as much as he was in the first couple of periods. But, you know, the guy must be obviously banged up to miss a game in a Stanley Cup final in game four. But, you know, a lot of people out there, and I think I mentioned to you guys yesterday, you know, Vasilevsky's, I mean, he's a guy that a lot of people think are as good as Ben Bishop. He made a couple of really good saves last night. I mean, he didn't get a lot of rubber in the first, 27, 28 minutes of the game until Patrick Sharp hit the post, and then eventually Jonathan Toews went to the blue paint and scored. But I think what happens too, David, is, you know, it is a player, and I mentioned this during our broadcast last night, is a player, and you know a young guy's going into that spot, I think your attention to detail is much greater. I think it's much more fine, and you're going to err on the side of defense. You're going to be making sure that you're not going to let anybody get in between you and your goaltender, and they did a masterful job there. And look, I keep hearing and listening, and you know, people just watch maybe at the end of the year and into the playoffs. And, you know, I tried to let everybody know that Tampa's a pretty damn good hockey team. And this shouldn't be catching anybody by surprise. As I mentioned to you guys before, a lot of people in the South thought the Hawks would win the series in three games. And that's not going to happen, obviously. I agreed with Mike from Phoenix, your caller there a couple of minutes ago, just talking about last night, both teams were tired. I think I used the frame, used the verbiage, this is a tired game. At least until Saad scored, and then all of a sudden was like, okay, it's a sprint to the wire here, and what a finish it was. But I think, David, it's you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, it's next man up. So if a guy goes down, you got to be ready to go. And we saw Kimmo Tiiminen jump in there last night when Joel made a change. Bickle is out. Versteeg comes in. So you got to be ready. Whether you've played 15 games in your career or 18 games like Trevor Van Riemsdyk, you got to be ready to go because there's no tomorrow for sure. Now it's a best of three.
Kimmo Tiiminen last night got, I don't know, about 6 minutes of ice time, five and change, hit the crossbar, which I would have loved to have seen him
great
score.
Great story would have been.
Would have been just an awesome narrative for the story. What was your take on the play of Kimmo Tiiminen and the play of Johnny Oduya, who looks like he's playing with one hand?
Yeah, I mean, that's playoff hockey, right? Everybody's banged up to a certain extent. We'll hear all about it at the end of the year. You know, Tyler Johnson for Tampa Bay is not, you know, he's not taking any faceoffs, and he's been a guy that takes a lot of faceoffs over the course of the year into the playoffs. And, you know, for Johnny Oduya, I mean, he's fighting through it. I mean, there's no ands, ifs, or buts. And, I mean, he got hit a couple of times last night and popped back up, and that's what we expect from leaders. And he's been just that and performing very well. But, again, everybody is banged up at different levels, but, you know, he's been able to fight through it. As far as for Kimmo, I mean, I think as the game went on, he felt a little bit more comfortable. I think he only had one shift in the second period, and then Joel played him, you know, maybe three or four shifts in the third. I didn't see the exact numbers at the end. But, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, he had that great chance there. I mean, he took the penalty early in the game. And, you know, as we said yesterday, I mean, the fastness of the series is the biggest concern. But last night, you know, I think that the way the game was played for the first, what would you say, guys, first 50 minutes of the game, first 52 minutes of the game,
yep,
it was a pretty, you know, it, like I say, both
a
teams
slog.
Were tired. Both teams were tired. I don't think there's any question that you're going to have games like that. And, you know, I thought Tiiminen did what he was asked to do. And that's what you got to do, whether you play six shifts or 60 shifts like Duncan Keith. You got to go out there and do what's expected.
So, Eddie, everybody's used to seeing Joel Quenneville shake things up. I think that's part of what makes him such a great coach and part of his genius. And he gets the benefit of the doubt. That said, last night, boy, he juggled all four lines. And after the first period, you started to think, oh, okay, did he go a little bit far here? Brad Richards on the wing, you break up the fourth line, Shaw back at center. He was looking for offense. He didn't get it early. He did get the result that they wanted. They won. But what do you expect now, and how surprised were you to see some of those combinations?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I mean, the Richards on the wing, I didn't like that aspect of it. I mean, Joel was looking to get a better start, right?
Mm-hmm.
First three games, not good. for the Blackhawks. Tampa Bay's outplayed them early in all three games going into last night, and they did again last night. So I think Joel, when he started the line of Shaw, Sod, and Kane.
Wait, can I interrupt you for one second? Didn't you think game three, the Hawks had 19 first period shots?
You didn't listen. Tapper, you didn't hear me. What did I say? I said the start of the game. I didn't say they had 19. I said the starts of the game, Tampa have been the better team. Is that what I said?
Yeah, I just thought game three, they started better.
Kepler, I just said the start of the game. I didn't say that they were the better team in the first period. I never said that.
Well, how long determines a start then, Edzo?
Well, you want to say the first 4 or 5 minutes? Would you agree with that? Do you want to go back and watch game three and tell me the Blackhawks were the better team in the first 5 minutes of game three?
No.
No, not the first 5 minutes. I always think of the start of the game, the first 10, 12, 15 minutes. That's how I look at it as a fan.
Well, just go 10, 12, 15, and 20 then. So my point is that Joel has not liked the starts for the first 6 minutes and 47 seconds of every period. So he tried to change the lines up, and that's why I think he started Shaw, Sod, and Kane to try to give a little bit of a different look. I didn't understand the Richards on the wing, but, hey, the guy's won 2 cups. He's 2 wins away from winning his 3rd cup as a head coach of the Blackhawks. And then once it wasn't working,
went back.
The Hawks only had 3 shots in the first 28 minutes of their game. And then Sharp had the post, and then, you know, Taves went to the blue paint. So for me, I think the message was that we got to do something here. You know, we're not just going to keep rolling out the same lines and combinations and keep getting outplayed to start the game.
Sure.
All right, but Keith Jones said it was insane.
Okay.
That was his word.
If you want Keith Jones, then call Keith Jones. If you want JR, call JR. I'm just telling you what I think.
Do you think it was insane or it was controversial, maybe unorthodox, but I wouldn't go that it was an insane thing to do?
To do what?
To have Brad Richards at a wing, to have everything jumbled.
What did I just say? Joel has been the head coach of a team that has won 2 cups in the last 5 years and is 2 wins away from winning his 3rd in 6 years. Have we not seen different line combinations from Joel Quenneville over the course of the last 7 years he's been here?
That all bizarre. Year. Last night was, I thought, more bizarre than I've seen.
Well, it was bizarre because you saw Shaw with Kane and Sod, and then. What about putting Sharp up with Hossa?
It made an impact. I think he played his best game of the series, Eddie. And I think
without question. I mean, Teravainen got bumped down, but again, I mean, you only have so many spots. I mean, you know, let me ask you this, Capper. If he would have put Vermette on the wing and left Richards at center, would you be all up in arms with what he did with Richards and Vermette?
I didn't say I was up in arms, Edzo. I'm just saying it was with Richards on the wing, that was the cherry on top of a insane Sunday. Okay?
I don't know.
Eddie, here's the thing. I understand. Here's why I understood it, and I think is unorthodox. You come to expect it. You're Joel Quenneville. You're looking at this picture, and you're down 2-1 in a series that you have been outplayed all 3 games. You have had the lead going into last night. A grand total of 6 minutes. You're not providing the offense in this series that you thought was going to be offensively driven. You're being beaten by a team that has been better than you. You've got to do something. Drastic times call for drastic measures. That's why I think that he put it all in a hat and figured out, okay, we're going to shake it up. We're going to see what comes out, and we'll live with it because the other way is not working.
Yeah, and that's what Joel has been able to do. And look, I mean, John Cooper's done the same thing, whether he's dressed 11, you know, forwards and 7 defensemen or you're moving guys in and out. I mean, that's what you got to do. I mean, if Joel doesn't make any changes and they continue to have the starts that they've had and nothing's really getting going, then people are going to, why wouldn't you change the lines? I mean, a couple of games ago or, you know, in the Anaheim series is, well, you got to put Kane and Taves together. Okay, well, they did that and it worked. Then they started the series and nothing happened the first couple of games. Then what everybody say?
Break them up.
What everybody say when it wasn't working with Taves and Kane on the same line?
Separate them up.
What were you saying?
Split them up.
Separate them. Okay. Then you've had these starts, as I've mentioned here a couple of times now, probably 10 times already. So Joel said, you know what, we need a better start. This is a huge game. I'm gonna mix them up, and I'm gonna, you know, like, look. I mean, you look at, you could debate the Richards on the wing all the time. I'm not gonna argue that. Like I said, I was surprised to see him on the wing. I would have been less surprised if I saw Vermette on the wing than I saw Richards. But Joel went to it. It didn't work. There wasn't a lot going on. Sometimes you got to tip your helmet to the other side, and they didn't give the Blackhawks anything.
Right.
And again, I can't emphasize enough. This is a good team. They just didn't all of a sudden appear in the playoffs. I mean, they've been playing for the most part this way all season long. I mean, they've done it more offensively than they've done it defensively, but I think what they've proven to everybody is that they can play on the right side of the puck and know that that they could limit the opportunities of one of the most offensive and gifted teams in the National
Hockey League. If you were making up lines yesterday, what would you do? What lines would you put together?
Well, I mean, I would have definitely moved Sharp up. I talked about Sharp in our open last night, that the Hawks needed more from him, and a way to do that is to get him with more skilled players more often, and that's what that's what Joel did. I could have maneuvered three guys: Teravainen, Vermette, and Richards. I could have seen being on that second line. Just any kind of rotation. Put Table there, drop Vermette down, let Richards go. It seems like he's found a little bit of a burst in his game. But yeah, I mean, you got flexibility. I mean, I would the Shaw, Kruger, Desjardins line to me, I think is a mainstay there. I mean, I think that's a line that you can check against the triplets, or you can play against Stamkos, and then you had the Taves, Hossa, line going, and you could whatever you want to do. I mean, whoever you want to play between Saad and Kane, whether it's whether it is Richards, or you put Vermette there, or whatever. But you got lots of options, and for anybody who suggests that. That last night had to do with the Blackhawks not knowing who they were playing with, or not used to who they were playing with, or whatever. Come on, it's been like this all year long. Please don't make any excuses and say that they didn't have any chemistry because they hadn't played together. Everybody on this team has played with everybody at some point. It was just that, Tampa outplayed them and outdefended them. I should say probably more correctly. With what happened last night.
And I don't disagree with you, but that was the narrative that was being bandied about. Well, they don't know who they're playing with. And I thought, boy, except for Vermette, these guys have all been together.
Yeah, but Vermette's been here now, Capper, for how long? 3 months?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how long he's been here. I mean, they've all at some point have played together. And when it works, and look, they won the game. When it works, the tone is obviously much different. And yeah, you're right. I mean, when you go 27 minutes without more than three shots on goal, the questions are there and they're warranted. But to say that they were they were discombobulated and what have you because they didn't know what their line mate was going to do or whatever. Come on. That's the easy way out.
Before we let you go.
Do you want to ask me about Crawford, or do you want to get combative with him too now? I mean,
I thought he was
Crawford was great.
I thought he was phenomenal.
And great job
Crawford,
down the stretch.
I thought Crawford the last 8 minutes or whatever, the push of that game. I mean, he was good. I mean, look, the Blackhawks, I mean, I think the last 24 minutes of the game, they only gave up four shots before the last 2.5 minutes of the game, where I think Tampa officially, I think, had 10 shots directed at Corey Crawford, and he made, I think, six saves. How about the game-saving play by Brent Seabrook with the stick in the crease? And
oh, boy.
A wide-open net. I mean, those are plays there. I mean, that's fundamentals, right? I mean, stick on the ice. For all you young defensemen out there that maybe play at the University of Illinois, maybe a young Joey Rittendale. I'm sure he's watching the show right now.
Probably.
So, you got to get your stick on the ice. If Seabrook sticks up in the ice, off the ice, the puck's in the back of the net, and maybe we're still playing in overtime at the United Center this morning. So, I thought Crawford was good. I thought he was really good at the end, but I think it was one of those games where, the game just kind of settled in there for a long stretch and there wasn't a lot going on. And when the Hawks needed him, he was that guy, and that was very important.
As we let you go, I listened to John Cooper last night, and he said, I'm stunned that in the final minute and a half, one of those shots didn't end up in the net. From your vantage point, were you stunned? Like, I can't believe they didn't score there.
Well, I mean, I can't believe what the chances that they had. And look, you got one of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League standing right in front of the net. Now, if that is Kane or Taves or Saad and the skate's on the other foot, what would be the tone with that?
That he blew it. that he should have finished the job. You got to score in this situation.
Right,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to put that in. Yeah. Like you're making yeah. You know, everybody's going to go to the money part, but you're the
guy.
Player. You got the rock on your stick. It's got to get to the back of the net. It doesn't matter. But the chances they had, I mean, the last one at the end of the game, like we showed the replay coming back. And I mean, I don't know how the puck, it went up and over the net at the end of the game. I don't think anybody really realized. And they had two guys standing in front of the net, and the puck just took a crazy care. I'm like, I lost it. Like, usually I can track the puck pretty well from being 350 yards away from the ice. I mean, that one there, I had no idea. Like, I thought that the puck was in the back of the net because I lost it, but the thing just went to the front and just shot back the other way. And how about the save he made on Stamkos, like 2 feet? Like, Stamkos was so tight, he wasn't able to elevate the puck. And Crawford, like you said in the postgame, right, took away the bottom of the net. And when the Blackhawks needed him, I mean, he was outstanding. And I don't think there's any doubt, in my opinion, the last 5-6 minutes of that game, that was definitely Corey Crawford.
No doubt.
All right, Edzo, have a safe trip. Don't be combative with me. Get a good night's sleep.
Wait a second.
We'll see you in Tampa.
You like to attack me.
I just want to sit here and listen to your knowledge and drink it up.
Oh, now it's knowledge.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Right. Safe travels, Eddie.
See you in Tampa Bay, buddy.
See you in Tampa.
Ed, so I may come down there. I'm thinking about coming down.
All right. I'll talk to you next week. All right.
See you later. Bye.
All right.
There he is, the great Eddie Olczyk. He brought his pistol today.
He was ready for you.
But, and I wasn't even challenging him. I'm just asking legitimate questions. He decided he was going to come back at me.
Okay.
That was how he woke up today. 312-235-2525.
Oh, this is awkward.
He warned me on Twitter. He was coming at me, so he came at me. Anyway, and not on Twitter, on text. Anyway, got to take a timeout. We've got calls. We got Brian Campbell. We'll talk a little more of Brandon Saad with him. And then note on your planning, Rick Hahn, 925 tomorrow.
Okay, I'll write that down. Thanks for
also
letting me know.
Ian Happ, Cubs number one pick.
Yeah.
Will join us.
Tomorrow?
And Carson Fulmer. I almost said Carson.
We got all
Palmer.
Those guys tomorrow?
Yeah, all tomorrow.
All right. It's Baseball Friday.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Looking forward to it.
Get away from a little hockey. All right. Take a time out. If you see Edzo, pat him on the back. Tell him to relax and have a good time down in Tampa. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Bob in Arlington Heights. Romeo, what's going on, buddy?
Been a fan of your show. Think you guys are great since you were on the game, 98.7.
Maybe that's why it folded. Welcome back, Cap'n Haw, a Comcast Sportsnet at WGN Plus, 98.7.
Yeah. It wasn't that. That's kind of what your temperature is when you're feeling okay. 87.7 is what the game used to be.
That's exactly correct. All right, we continue on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
We're going to see how many more people you can alienate on the phone.
I didn't even go at Eddie. Not at all. Not 1 second, and he was firing on me from second one.
You were egging him. You were egging him a little bit. Just a little bit.
In what way did I egg him on? I love Eddie.
You were just constantly making him repeat himself, and then he was not liking that.
No,
and then you brought up what Keith Jones said, and that was really
I was trying
awkward.
To get some clarification, and he decided, he woke up this morning and said, you know what, he always busts my you know what, I'm going at him today. That's how he woke up.
So
One of my best friends, he was firing on me from minute one.
So Eddie Olczyk wakes up in the morning, first thing that comes to his head,
I'm
going after Cap. That's the first thing on his mind.
He was texting me. He came at me hard. I'll give him that.
We all heard it. We all saw it.
I'll give him that.
It's a little awkward.
I'm not even going to make a funny joke back at him. 312-235-2525. Cliff's on the west side. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, Cliff. What's up, Cliff? Cliff?
Hey, Cliff. See you, Cliff.
Yeah,
thanks
sorry,
for
Cliff.
Trying, buddy.
Yeah.
Susie in Deerfield. Hey, Susie.
Hey, Susie.
Hey.
What's on your mind?
David, it's Susie Friedman. Our kids played football together in Deerfield.
Oh, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind today?
If you sell Mindy's ticket, you're dead.
Yeah, no question about it. That will never happen.
Okay, so you remember Bad News Bears? Walter Matthau was trying to get to know his players. And Tanner, and they said he got in a fight. And he said, with who? And he said, the seventh grade.
I remember.
Is that Shaw?
Yes.
Is that Shaw?
Andrew
What's
Shaw?
What's the backstory? Shaw is, I mean, he's such a scrapper.
He's come.
Is he like one of 10 kids or what?
No, he comes from a blue-collar family.
His brother is working on the crew that's doing the renovation at Wrigley.
Yeah, and he used to wear a bracelet that represented a local union in a small town from where he's from in Canada. He just grew up with a work ethic that he has taken to the ice, and he is a fixture for the Blackhawks for one reason and one reason only. He just doesn't let anybody outwork him.
He's just a hard-nosed SOB, man.
I love when he barks at the refs. You have to look up to him.
You absolutely do. Susie, have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, bye, Susie.
David.
All the best. See ya. 312-235.
You want me to set that segment out? A little neighborhood
Our kids played football
watch
together.
Meeting?
Our kids
thanks,
played
David.
Football. There you go.
Okay.
312-235-25.
You bring
25.
The juice boxes down Saturday, please?
We'll get back to Cliff on the west side. Brian Campbell's going to join us, give us a player's perspective of his thoughts.
Try not to make Brian Campbell upset.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Not everything goes your way all the time, so sometimes you might be down. You just gotta keep playing, keep battling, and keep working hard. And it's a tough series. No one's going to give up.
Well, we know the importance of goaltending. And, you know, game in, game out, I thought he was outstanding tonight. You know, call it a goalie win. And I love how we battle. He's a battler. And it's a great illustration how we stayed with it. How they swarmed us at the end. And he was moving and he was following the puck. And it was big. It was big. Nice response.
There's Coach Joel Quenneville. Blackhawks 2-1 winners last night at the United Center. You heard Corey Crawford as well. Hawks have evened the series at 2 games apiece. Game 5 in Tampa on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock Central. Our guy Soupy Brian Campbell joins us now here on the hotline. Brian, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Brian.
Oh, hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Doing well. How is your new family addition?
Congratulations.
Your daughter.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we're all good. Everybody's home and everybody's happy, and we're lacking a little sleep here and there, but it's the enjoyment of it definitely is what you look for.
What was your take on last night's game? Because the last 8 minutes was insane hockey, where the Hawks were like Team USA against the Russians in Miracle, just trying to chip it out and live to fight another day, as Eddie says.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you look at Stamkos' chance in the slot there with the empty net, and it goes off. Seabrook's heel of his stick, kind of, you know, that's as close as you're going to get. So definitely entertaining hockey, fun to watch, good for the fans, and back and forth. So, you know, it was an interesting game all around, I thought.
What is your sense now, Brian, going back to Tampa for game basically, it's the best of three. And the Hawks have to feel, from their perspective, they have not played their best hockey. They have been maybe outplayed throughout the course of this series. You look at how long they have led, and it was 6 minutes going into last night, and then after Saad's goal, they led for, you know, the 11:27. But overall, they have to feel like they can play better. And so is there a sense that, okay, they've escaped to this point and they can get it together now? Or what is the mindset going into Tampa?
Well, I think, yeah, you're 2-2, and you feel like you haven't played maybe your best hockey yet. A lot of times you go into a series hoping your goaltender can steal you one, and, you know, has he stolen them too now is the question. You know, you guys got, you know, the other guys got to kind of make up the slack a little bit here. But I think, you know, you regroup. It's you forget the past and you move forward. So you're 2-2 going in. It's a nice situation to have, and now you know you have to go and win one at Tampa. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they keep responding. You know, they always seem to find a way to get it done. Sometimes it looks a little scarier, and sometimes they find a way to get it done early.
When you're in a dressing room during a game like that, What is being discussed? Is it more strategy because you've got lines jumbled? Is it guys just relaxing, trying to catch their breath? How much X's and O's goes on in a locker or in a dressing room during a game like that?
Not much during a game. I think right now you know the system Tampa is going to play. You just got to find a way to you know, break through and you know, take care of those situations when they get the two-on-ones and they get the breakaways. You got to find a way to score those goals. You know, the Hawks haven't done that great of a job in the series of finishing chances, and they're tied 2-2 in the series. So there's not a lot, unless sometimes you get a little line mate changing, and then you maybe want to just talk to your line mate about, you know, some things where you want them a little bit more or where you're thinking you might have success. And sometimes Joel will probably come in and try to fix a little bit. But the thing is, the reason why the Hawks are so successful is they don't adapt to teams. Teams have to adapt to them. And I know the series are, you know, they're kind of on their heels some way sometimes, but they're always going to find a way to get out of it.
So how do you explain the first period, Brian, when there's so much rhetoric pregame about wanting to start fast and wanting to start with a sense of urgency, and then you see a 20-year-old rookie goaltender making his first NHL start, and you think, okay, that's going to be the impetus to have some sort of attack mode, and you're gonna make a lot of shots, you're gonna throw a lot of things at the net, you're gonna create a lot of traffic, and then it's 8 minutes before their first shot on goal. They only get two off in the entire first period. How do you reconcile both of those things, what you wanted to happen and then what actually did?
Yeah, you know, I think when you go through a game and it doesn't happen, as long as you're not getting blown out of the game, which they weren't, you know, you take some positives out of it. Yeah, we didn't play a good period, but, you know, we can move forward and we can find a way to break through here. And we haven't put ourselves in that big of a hole. So those are the situations that they're probably going to talk about. They talked about after the first period. Yeah, they know they wanted to get more shots. You know, Tampa plays that pressure game, and they're all – seems like they're everywhere on the ice with their deep pinching and their gaps tight. It's just a tough team to get by. Sometimes it's more, you know, changing it up, and you're not going to enter the zone with the puck as much. It's chipping and trying to use some speed to get by some of the defensemen that maybe aren't as quick and to – you know, get their puck control game in the offensive zone. Once they get that puck control game in the offensive zone going and get movement from their D and their wingers coming up to the point, and it gets Tampa jumbled and they're all messed around, and that's when those situations can be successful for the Hawks. And last night I found they didn't do that a whole lot by moving themselves.
Talking to Brian Campbell, former Blackhawk defenseman, now playing for the Florida Panthers, lives in the Chicago area. Brian, I want to ask you about Brandon Saad, because he's going to hit restricted free agency at the end of this year. We had Eddie on a little bit ago. He said, look, he has no rights. It's not like he could just say, I'm not playing here, I'm going somewhere else. The only option he would have would be to go to, like, the KHL, which obviously he wouldn't do. When you go through that, can you explain a player's perspective? Do you go, I'm in a great situation in Chicago. I've won two, maybe three cups. I could win more if I take a little less. Or do you go out and get the offer sheet and go, I really don't care, I'm getting what I can get?
Well, I think it depends on the personality of the person. If I look, I know Brandon Saad a little bit, not much, but if I look at him and I saw how hard he worked last summer, because, you know, I was skating here and training here, and you see how hard a kid like that works. He wants to win. I feel like he would take less money to stay here in Chicago because he knows he has a chance. He's going to play with Taves and Hossa. I know he didn't last night, but usually on a regular basis, he's always going to be playing with great players. You know, it's a situation, but also you want to be compensated for it. It's going to be an interesting situation because I think for him next year, you look at a team can offer him an offer sheet. And I think if it's under $3.5 million, they only have to give up a second rounder. Well, I think there'd be 29 teams lined up in the league to do that, to pay him $3.5 million and only have to offer him a second rounder. And don't quote me on that, but I'm almost positive that that's all you'd have to give up. So, you know, for a guy like him, he's looking at a salary like that for sure. So, you know, that's pretty good coming off of your rookie deal. So, you know, I feel like, you know, those are probably the numbers that he's probably going to look at. And moving forward, he'd like to get that money from Chicago and stay here, and I'm sure he would take, you know, as I said, a little bit less.
How powerful is that Blackhawk appeal? I mean, I don't know if you can quantify it, Brian, but you mentioned it, and players, you know, do appreciate what they have when they're playing for the Blackhawks and the players are playing around in the organization in general. But, it, you know, how does it depend on the person, or just how persuasive can that the allure be of wanting to be part of something as special as this seems?
Yeah, everybody wants to be a part of it. It's easy. You know, you look at Brad Richards, and I know, you know, he's I feel like he's played pretty good in the playoffs, but he probably took less money to come here. And guys want a chance to win, and, yeah, they can take more money going elsewhere, but you're not going to have maybe the chance to win and you know, come to the rink and it be the best day of your life every day when you come to that rink. You know, the organization takes care of you. You know, it just makes a difference. You know, the fans are going to be there at home and on the road. So it's definitely, you know, what Rocky's done there is built it up. And obviously when you have a guy like Jonathan leading your squad in the room, it makes you want to play for that guy.
We're talking to Brian Campbell here in Cap'n Hall. When you go down to Tampa, I don't mean you, the team goes to Tampa and they get ready for Saturday, how much is put into video between now and then and working on certain things, and how much of it is just get off your feet, stay in bed, play video games, sleep, watch a movie, and eat?
Yeah, I don't know exactly their schedule, but I can imagine today will be a day off or an optional, and you know that who's not going to be out there and who's going to be out there. You know, either today or tomorrow, they'll probably just go over about 10 minutes of video of things that they liked in the game, things that they want to correct. You know, you don't want to do too much of that video and just get, you want to get guys' heads away because they do have the two-day break. And then I'm sure on Saturday morning, they're going to look at their special teams and see what they can, you know, do to improve that and then get ready to play. You pretty much know what Tampa's going to do now if Tampa knows what Chicago's going to do and how they play. So it's just the few little things that you can change up a little bit to have some success is going to be huge for the hockey club. So as you said, get off your feet, you know, hydrate, eat well, you know, especially those top four D. You know, even going into the game last night, I was actually kind of nervous that it was going to be the other side just because they had a lot of penalty kill and power plays and 4-on-4s. And those guys had to play a lot more minutes in the first period last night. But, you know, obviously they don't surprise us because they keep doing it every night by playing those minutes. So, you know, especially those guys need to get some rest heading into Saturday.
Before we let you go, Brian, how would you evaluate Kimmo Tiiminen's return to the lineup? And also, since he got some ice time for the first time in 7 months, Trevor Van Riemsdyk's first two games.
Yeah, I thought Van Riemsdyk, I don't know him that well as a player, but he made some really, really nice plays in the first game there. I think last night he kind of got a little bit slow getting back for pucks. You know, you got to get back to that puck, especially in the playoffs, and make your quick, and you got to make a hard play. Nothing soft, especially when you haven't been playing a whole lot. You want to make those hard plays, and as, you know, we all say in hockey, live to fight another day. You know, those plays. Kimmo, you know, it's a tough situation, you know, for the guy. You know, he's been around the league. He plays one shift in the second period. And the guy's used to his whole life. He's played, you know, 12 shifts or whatever in the second period. You know, it's just it's a tough adjustment. It would be tough for anybody. It would be tough for myself to go out there and only play one shift in a period. And if you make a mistake, you know you're not going to be put back out there again. So, you know, it's just the mindset. Some people have been trained to do it. You know, some guys that play 4 or 5, they're trained to play 5 minutes a night, and they can do that. But where other guys that have, especially when you've played 20, 25 minutes, you know, it's definitely a huge adjustment. So I think any minutes he can give the team is a success.
Hey, did you think that was a hooking penalty on him, the one where he dropped his stick and he's like, are you kidding me? Did you think it was a legit penalty?
I feel like it was a penalty. It's a little borderline. The thing was, the Blackhawks should be lucky because Seabrook came in and took the feed out from, I think it was Filppula, right after that. And I was like, okay, this could be a 5-on-3 here because they had already called the one. So I think it's after that penalty, you know, it's Blackhawks are looking like they maybe got away with one too. So it's tough. Anytime that stick gets up and the guy, the opposition guy has his feet moving, you know, it's good. But I know he drew a penalty later on by, I think it was Killorn came in there and got the stick up on him. So you know, it's you know, he's doing some good things out there. I feel bad. You know, he's I'm sure he's trying his hardest, and he hasn't played the whole entire season. And I know people are on him a little bit, and it's not an easy situation.
Appreciate the knowledge, buddy. Best of luck to the family.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, enjoy it, boys.
All the best. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
There he is, Brian Campbell of the Florida Panthers.
Good perspective.
Former Blackhawk. Really good perspective.
Good player perspective on what's going on now. The Brandon Saad mindset, what players think about when they're dealing with the Blackhawks, and you didn't even tick them off. So that was a good segment there.
Yeah, progress.
Progress.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see, because he mentioned 3.5. Brandon Saad's going north of that, way north.
In terms of an offer sheet, well, remember what Eddie said, though. The Penguins have some issues in terms of the cap, and I don't even know this.
Whether it's the Penguins or somebody else.
You would think that he would probably get a offer sheet north of $3.5 million.
Yeah, I'm saying way north.
But you also, you wonder if a team, if it's out there that Brandon Saad wants to stay, is it worth their while to even try? Would they even?
Money talks if it's a huge number.
What's huge?
$5 million?
Kane and Taze are $8 million a year players.
Wintrust loves good rivalry. Who doesn't? I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best. Cubs versus Sox, north side, south side, blue, black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago. Decide for your side with the Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit cards so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. Plus, cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with a hashtag DecideCubs or DecideSox. When you choose either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online. See whose fans are cheering the loudest. Learn more at Wintrust.com/YouDecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks. Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
It's a huge win, honestly. You know, it's good for our morale in here, too, and get our spirits up and get a smile on our face. This team gets pretty miserable losing games and a lot of off faces around here. So can have a smile on our faces tomorrow and then start thinking about game five again.
Welcome back, Cap'n Haw, on Comcast Sports Net. Nicholas Hjalmarsson, who Eddie mentioned that he got the offer sheet from
San Jose. Yeah.
That cost them Antti Niemi. They had to make a choice, and he ironically
after
ended up in San Jose after 2010. Look, Brandon Saad is an integral part of what they do going forward.
He's not going anywhere.
No, I don't see any scenario. But if he gets $6 million a year, somebody offers it to him, they're going to pay him, but that costs you another star.
It does. Well, you're prepared to say goodbye to several people at the end of this. I mean, you're going to get your last glimpse in the next, you know, two games maybe. Patrick Sharp, more than likely. Brian Bickell, more than likely.
Johnny Oduya. Michael Roosevelt.
Well, you haven't seen him in a while.
But his
Unless
money.
He's been sitting with, you know, in your section.
But his money.
Know. Yeah. Also, Christopher Stieg.
Yep.
These are familiar names. These are where the strength of your organization.
Vermette, Teeminen. You're talking about.
Vermette is a short timer. Anyway.
No question. But all that money, that veteran experience, all these guys.
Brad Richards.
Gone. You would think.
You would expect. I don't know, you know, if that is even going to. At some point, the cap number is going to be coming out $71, $72 million.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of trimming to do when you have two guys making $8 million a year, and that's Kane and Taze. Money well spent.
What is their average annual value on their deal?
It's an 8-year, $84 million deal, so it's, you know, do the 10. Math, 10 4. And a half, you know, right around there. So, as I say, $8 million a year, $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big number.
And they took a lot less because reportedly they would have gotten 12, 13, 14 mm-hmm. if they had hit free agency.
But the beauty of from a player's perspective, the beauty of an offer sheet is that you don't necessarily have that option, right? You're sitting there, and if a team wants to swoop in and dare the team that retains your rights to pay you what we think you're worth, then they set the market. You don't, as you don't drive that up necessarily.
Okay, so what happens? What do you do if you're Brandon Saad and the Hawks go, look, we can go to 4? Don't sign the offer sheet. And he's like, hey, man, they're offering me $6 million a year.
That's what Brian Campbell said. It depends on the person. It depends on the agent. Depends on the relationship with the person and the agent and the team. All those things come into play.
It's a tough scenario to be in.
It's a tough scenario. Yeah. Nice
we'll,
problem
we'll
to have.
We'll never know that, but a nice problem to have if you're the player.
Yeah, and a tough summer. No wonder Stan Bowman was looking so – every time you see him, he looks like he's, lost
what
a friend.
Am I yeah.
Looks
that's
very
why,
uptight.
That's why.
Did you see him last night around there?
I did not.
In your meanderings around the.
I did not.
The UC with your pink tie.
I saw. No, I took my tie off. Then.
Did you
put this on?
Okay.
I don't sit in the pink tie at the game. By the way, your son loved the tie.
My son did love your tie and loved telling me how much he loved your tie. For some reason, you tend to fascinate my son. Who had you were very nice to you last night. Thank you very much.
Blair's a good kid.
And but yeah, I don't understand his taste in clothes because that tie was a little loud.
That tie was awesome.
It was a little loud.
That tie was awesome. Cliff on the west side, try number 2. What's up, Cliffy?
Hey, Cliff.
What's up, Cap? How you doing? How you guys doing this morning?
We're good. How are you?
Good.
Okay, Cap, you the man, man.
Thanks, man.
I think Eddie got cross-checked this morning, man. I don't know.
I love Eddie. He's one of my best friends. He always fires on me. That's okay.
Yeah, that was one. That was very interesting. Hey, I wanted to say that. They've been talking about the Hawks defensemen since the playoffs started, and they're still standing. The Hawks are going to win the Cup. There's no doubt about that. They always get into the situation where they got to win a important game on the road, and they do it every time. Joey Quenneville, man, he should be the Hawks coach until he gets ready to retire because the guy knows what he's doing, man. I mean, it always works out. He puts the right people in the right place at the right time. Saad ain't going nowhere, just like Jimmy Butler. He ain't going nowhere. I wouldn't worry about that. But the Hawks are going to get another cup, and any team that's less than the Hawks, Tampa Bay would have swept them already. Any other team that's less than what the Hawks got, Tampa Bay would have swept them already.
Probably so, Cliff. So,
Cliff, have a great day, buddy.
Thanks for the phone call. They're not that far away from having swept the Hawks, and that's how good they've played.
Right, but you can also look at team in the shot hit the crossbar. You look at the posts. I mean, yes, no question they've outplayed the Hawks.
Okay.
No question.
Okay, Lovey Kaplan. Glass half full in your world.
Glass is always half full.
I understand that. I think that after 4 games, you have to feel fortunate to be tied at 2 games apiece.
Agreed. Aldo in Arlington Heights. What's up there, Aldo?
Hey, Aldo.
Hey, guys. Before I ask my question, I just want to say that I think Eddie Olczyk is the Broad Street bully and that David Kaplan is the Lady Byng Trophy winner. But here's my question. 5 teams had better regular season records than the Blackhawks. The Hawks entered the postseason with a depleted defenseman core and then lost Mike Roosevelt. Corey Crawford, statistically in the playoffs, is in the middle of the pack among goalies, and Bishop and Anderson has statistically better records. So in my opinion, from a roster perspective, the Ducks and the Lightning have better teams. But the Hawks are winning because of their playoff experience, their knowledge in closing games, their sheer grit and determination. So my question is, do you guys agree that the Blackhawks are not the better team, but that the better team doesn't always win, even in a long playoff tournament? And thanks.
Thanks, Aldo. I do think that's true. The better team doesn't always win. And in terms of skill, in terms of the way they execute, but I think that the Hawks, if they are able to win the Cup, are the better team because it goes in a lot of things go into being the better team, and that is determination, drive, just the ability to overcome things out of your control, to overcome injury, whatever it is, just the sheer championship mentality that you have to have night in and night out to persevere. That is what a champion is. So I know the point, you know, the better team doesn't always win. I think the most skilled team doesn't always win. But the better team typically does, because that the definition of team is broader than just what you see and what you can measure with how fast a guy is or how skilled he is. It goes beyond that. And I think that's what Troy Murray was alluding to last night. You didn't see in the Hawks. You didn't see that sort
what
of...
What we've come to expect.
What you've come to expect. By the way, before you get to that, it sounds like he mentioned Michael Roosevelt. The playoffs had made Michael Roosevelt sort of this hockey martyr. Mm-hmm. You know, he is now, how much has he been missed, right? He was the most criticized guy on the ice. And much the same way, Eddie has made you a sympathetic figure today in this show. You have now become the people's champ. Everyone's feeling sorry for poor little old Cap that got picked on by the Broad Street bully that is Eddie Olczyk.
Eddie's my guy.
Eddie's picking on you, so poor little Cap. Come on. You egged him on, and you got what you deserve, pal.
No shot.
That's
get
what I'm
the
saying.
Ultimate. Eddie just, he's tired, man. He's been working like a dog. He's been going back and forth coast to coast. Get the ultimate experience with he needs a MyPillow. The all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apton Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. Get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in the app today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them up, 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, and the best customer service from the great Steve Shapiro. Shop app, ABT, app.com, pleasing people since 1936. Be right back.